This episode is supported by EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn now can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Super, super easy to use. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. So the app is free. You can leave a tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So here's the thing. Sometimes getting close to your next paycheck, next pay period, and you realize, oh gosh, like paycheck doesn't come until next Friday, but we have this event that we need to attend this weekend and we need money for it. Or we have to buy a gift for someone. Or, oh my gosh, like my kid tore through their shoes and now we have to buy new shoes this weekend and the money's not in the bank yet. So EarnIn can help you access the money you've already earned at work by giving you this little bit of money in advance. So make EarnIn part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security, and it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So for our listeners, all you need to do is download EarnIn today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, and you can download it in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Shameless Mom under podcast when you sign up. So there'll be a little place where you can, where it says, what podcast did you hear about them on? Type in Shameless Mom under podcast. This helps to show support for our show and our advertisers. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, and subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 693 with Shonda Morales. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 693. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Shonda Morales is on a mission to help ambitious moms play big without burning out. Author of the award-winning book, Breathe, Mama, Breathe, as well as Don't Forget to Breathe, she is a psychotherapist, life balance coach, therapreneur, and podcast host. Shonda serves on the board of the Shanti Project, an education nonprofit providing evidence-based mindfulness services to children and adults. She lives in Pennsylvania with her husband and two kids, loves to play outside, endeavors to practice what she preaches, and is perennially fascinated by what makes people tick. The timing of this interview was quite serendipitous, as you will hear. The day before I interviewed Shonda, my therapist told me I would really benefit from some mindfulness meditation. I was skeptical, if not downright doubtful. So I loved picking Shonda's brain as we dug into all the ways mindfulness as a practice can shift our brains to help us achieve balance, though not in the sense you might imagine, greater productivity, creativity, and overall energy. Listen in to hear Shonda share her experience raising two children 10 years apart in age, her parenting philosophy around good enough is great, how quote-unquote balance shifts over the course of motherhood and should be a gentle recalibration over time, not massive sweeping overnight changes, how to integrate 1 to 5 minutes of mindfulness to shift your day, and the importance of keeping it short and doable, which is a gift and a blessing if you are like me and you feel like you don't have any more than 1 to 5 minutes a day to spare, the science of mindfulness and how meditation can change the shape, function, and efficiency of your brain, the difference between mindfulness, meditation, and mindful breaks, and the difference and benefits of each, the difference between mindfulness, meditation, and mindful breaks, and the benefits of each, and how to use breath, becoming, and balance breaks in short, like 1 minute ways to increase your calm, your energy, or restore a mindset of balance to your day. Oh my goodness, so many goodies in here. So please join me in welcoming Shonda Morales to the Shameless Mom Academy. Shonda, welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Hi, Sarah. I'm excited to be with you.
We're going to talk about balance and breathing and mindfulness and all the things that we all really need, but maybe don't do a great job incorporating as moms.
That's right. Absolutely. We tend to come last.
Yes. Yes. I will preface this by saying that I was in a therapy appointment yesterday and my therapist was reminding me again that I could benefit from some mindfulness meditation. And I just got really mad at her. So I'll just let you know, that's where we're starting this conversation, is that I am probably your ideal client and I might get mad when you tell me to breathe.
So, all right. I'm ready for it. I'm ready.
But I'm honestly really excited to dig in because I think that there's so much of this conversation that's going to be relatable and helpful. But I think what I'm most looking forward to is how do we integrate things? How do moms integrate new habits? And that we know are going to be beneficial, but that we aren't good at prioritizing. So, and like, I'm raising my hand as that person right now. So,
well, and I love that you're owning your skepticism right away because I was there too. And so it's, you know, it's something we can definitely talk about it and address because you're not alone for sure. And it's sort of like, seriously, you're going to add one more thing to my to-do list. Get out of here.
Yes,
get out of my face. So,
yes.
So we're going to talk about that. I'm sure.
I can't wait. I can't wait. So before we dig in, tell us a little bit more about the dynamics of your personal and professional life beyond your bio and what you're most excited about right now.
Yeah. So I'm the mom of two. My kids are 10 and 20. So I have a fifth grader who just started and my daughter just started her senior year of college. So that disparity is interesting, keeps me on my toes. And what I'm most excited about right now is we're recording the end of August, but in mid-September, I'm going to be launching the second edition of my book, Don't Forget to Breathe. And so that's been really fun. I just had a TV segment. They came to my house. I'm familiar with the local TV people. I'm kind of on every so often. And this was the first time at my house. And I was like, okay. So my dog, we were talking about our dogs. My dog was on camera because she doesn't like the paparazzi really, but she might be famous now. So, but that was exciting. That was fun.
How exciting. Oh my gosh. Those are also milestone moments where when you make the decision to put yourself out in the world, whether it's writing a book or starting a podcast or starting your own business or going for a promotion, like whatever the thing is, when you're at the beginning of that journey and thinking like, I'm going to go for this and I'm going to do this thing. Sometimes you can't imagine what the end stuff looks like. And so to be on the other side of like having done the thing and then have media in your living room. It's a big moment.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, it was something that, you know, I didn't necessarily aspire to. And I don't know if we can plan out the twists and turns in our lives, but I'm such a huge proponent of following our curiosity and risk taking, like measured, wise risk taking, putting ourselves out there. And sometimes it's not working and sometimes it does. And I just love what shows up, like what, you know, how things turn out. And, you know, it makes life adventurous, I think.
I love that. I love it. I totally agree. So I want to talk a little bit about your motherhood experience because you referenced this already. And when your team reached out about this conversation, it was really about mindfulness and all the good things that we're going to get into. But I have questions and curiosity about raising two children with this 10-year age gap. I think this is fascinating. It's something we haven't talked much about on the show. But I think this is a unique angle in motherhood to have two kids, one's age 10, one's age 20. You're just in these really vastly different parenting stages. Can you talk a bit about that and what that looks like for you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, my husband and he joked, I didn't think it was so funny, but he was like, yeah, every 10 years, that's our plan. When you're 31, 41, 51. And I was like, dude, you'll do the 51. No. And I passed that now. So my daughter's like, thank God we passed that milestone and didn't have a child at 51. I can't handle that. No, yeah. So yeah, it's fun. And it's really helped me to not sweat the small stuff. I'll tell you that much, because when my daughter was born, I was very much a recovering perfectionist type A. I mean, I think that's a lifelong thing we kind of work on, but it was sort of like, okay, sanity or perfection, which one am I going to choose here? And thankfully sanity won. And, you know, I've really learned, and I teach this to moms, that good enough is great. And, you know, to me, that is like, so we need to give ourselves grace and have passion for the fact that motherhood, you know, our kids are the thing that matter the absolute most to us. Of course, we want to do an amazing job. We just care so much. But sometimes to give ourselves that grace and take ourselves off the hook a little bit, that good enough is really amazing, I promise. And so, yeah. And I can see that now that I see that my daughter is turning out to be great, you know, young adult human being. I'm like, okay, all right. It's all going to be okay. And, yeah. You know, thankfully my son can benefit from that.
I love that. I feel like when the pandemic started and as we got into when we realized the pandemic wasn't like a thing that was going to be 2 to 6 weeks long, oh. I feel like a lot of parents and myself included, a lot of moms, especially, had to reorganize their relationship with perfectionism because so much was uncertain and unpredictable. And we really, like, we were holding so much space for so many things that I felt like we, in some ways, it made us get over perfectionism in some really significant ways. And I remember talking to my clients at the time and my community at the time saying, like, this is a chance to do things halfway. Load the dish, do the dishes in a C+ way versus an A+ way, because it's okay if that's all you have the bandwidth for. And then what's great is you do things in this less perfectionistic way and you realize, like, oh, the outcome's like kind of the same.
That's right. That world has not fallen apart. Yes.
Right. Like, why did I need to work so hard for this other thing or make things look or turn out or work on things a certain way when often the outcomes are insignificantly different? There might be a little bit of a difference, but you're like, oh, that difference is fine. It doesn't matter. And I've saved time or energy or stress or what have you.
Right. Well, I think it's recognizing what we really want to try to do the A work on and what doesn't really matter. C is fine. And, you know, and I think so overall in parenting, kind of like a BC, I think, and we're in good shape. And yeah. And I think when it comes to perfectionism in general, when we can back off that, and like, I had film crew in my house today and I was like, I could have been there, you know, at 5 a.m. like scrubbing, making sure there were no smudges on the refrigerator and everything. But I was like, you know what, this kind of like, it's a little imperfect here and you can see the handprint, and you know what, it's, that gives permission, I think, to other people, other women to say, you know, this is real. This is real life, and take those standards down. And I want people to come to my house and feel like, you know, it's not perfect, because otherwise that can feel pretty uncomfortable and not very welcoming.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've noticed over time and having to do so much marketing in my own business over the years, I used to get so bogged down in typos in emails and typos in blog posts and like, oh my gosh. Time. And I remember when I first started a blog, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, I remember I would send versions of it to my mom and be like, she was a retired teacher. And I'm like, hey, can you just like copy edit this for me? And like, did I miss any commas? And now I'm like, if the worst thing I do today is miss a few commas, like, we're real good. Now it's when I send out correspondence and stuff, like, I do the best that I can do, but it's a loose, like a quick proofread before it gets out, because I just want to get it done. And that kind of idea that done is better than perfect has, I think I've had to do that as an entrepreneur, but the more that we can practice that, I think it creates a lot of space for us to get over that perfectionism and create space for other things.
Yes, definitely. Agreed.
I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about balance. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know for you, and we can kind of do this as a segue. So balance gets a bad rap, and a lot of people say balance is impossible. But we're always striving for balance because it seems like that's the thing we should want, and so on and so forth. I'm curious for you, balance when you have a 10-year-old and a 20-year-old, and back when you've had maybe a 2-year-old and a 12-year-old, and in any season, balance with work and then having two children who just are in really different worlds. I'm curious what balance has looked like for you, and then how that has informed your work and led into the work that you do today.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can generalize how it shifts, because that's the bottom line, is the phases of our life, you know, and moment to moment, but especially seasons of our life, it shifts. It looks different when you have a 2-year-old than when you have a 12-year-old for sure. Yeah. And that's what I talk about with balance. To me, it's about this gentle ongoing recalibration of our priorities as our seasons of life shift. And then that can be moment to moment as well. And of course, you know, life throws things at us, you know, major crises or whatever. And then the balance is totally shifted, but it's about not, it's about exactly what we're talking about, not being perfectionistic. And it's sort of like this, can I keep an eye out and just recognize on an ongoing basis when the balance feels a little off? Okay, how do I recalibrate? It's not a problem. It's never going to be this perfect balance. And so it's more just, can it be balanced-ish? And if we're going for that, you know, then it's we're in this proactive way, we are attending and hopefully never even coming close to burnout, because we can recognize it and catch it a little bit sooner and be proactive about the steps to take to counter that.
This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder, so if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. This invitation to a gentle recalibration feels like a gift, because I feel like when we think about wanting balance, and I'm kind of putting this in air quotes, like wanting balance or being more balanced or creating more balance, I feel like sometimes we feel like we're in such a state of chaos or lack of balance that we feel like we need to flip it in the other direction. And when I think of examples of that, I think of having come from the fitness industry, where I would have new clients come in and they're like, okay, starting Monday, I'm going to get up 2 hours earlier and run 6 miles and eat a completely different diet and go to bed really early. And they were like changing every aspect of their life overnight, not a gentle recalibration.
Right. Exactly.
And it was really painful and uncomfortable and often didn't stick. It was like great for 3 days.
Oh yeah.
And like something would come up, life would get in the way. And then it was just like all the way back to the chaos and whatever before.
Right.
And so this invitation to gentle recalibration is significantly different than that. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like in a practical sense?
Yeah, it's the opposite of that. And that's, you know, coming back to what you initially kind of were talking about, this resistance that comes up for you when you talk about being mindful and adding one more thing. And like, really, how is this even possible with my life? But what I teach and what I am such a huge proponent of is 5 minutes each day, 5 minutes of mindfulness every day. And if you can't do 5 minutes, which really, I mean that, if you can't, then 1 minute a day is absolutely fine. It's about establishing a daily habit, because these subtle shifts, these tiny, what I call mindful breaks, which are pauses and reminders in the middle of our day where we don't have to stop and go, you know, sit down and meditate, but to come back, and we'll talk, you know, talk about what that is exactly, but come back into that moment, that is something we can establish as a daily habit. And it can be just something that is infused right into our life. And before you know it, if you establish that for a habit for 2 weeks, a daily habit, then you stack on another mindful break for the next 2 weeks. Before you know it, it's like, these are habits that, just like brushing your teeth, you don't have to really remember to do it. It's just something you do at that time of the day. And it's then you're coming back and being more present for your life. And so, and we're pulling ourselves out of fight or flight and automatic pilot. And then we can just sustain energy longer. So it is very short, doable, practical, flexible. And there are dozens and dozens to choose from, so that it's, you know, it's whatever we're really needing in that moment. We'll talk more about that, I'm sure, too. But there are different types of mindful breaks. Sometimes we need calm. We need to just kind of rest and calm. And sometimes we need a shot of energy. So balance isn't all about going off and becoming all zenned out and calm where I'm going to fall asleep. I mean, ideally, we go through our days in this relaxed, alert state. We have energy, but we're alert, but we're not, you know, hyped up on, you know, 10 cups of coffee, but we're also not like so zenned out that we're just going to fall asleep, or, you know, we can't even, you know, form any creative thoughts. So it's somewhere in the middle. And again, that's where the balance comes in. But it's no, and recognizing what's going on with ourselves in that moment, and then, you know, that subtle shift.
The relaxed alert sounds really lovely. So one of the things I was talking to my therapist about yesterday was that, so I have diagnosed anxiety. I very strongly suspect I have ADHD, and I think that the ADHD actually is triggering the anxiety. So this is this circle that my therapist and I have kind of been talking around, trying to figure some things out. And so when she was telling me, like, I think you should do these mindful meditations, which she's told me before, and I'm always like, yeah. Uh-huh. And I tell her, I'm like, I work out. That's my meditation. But she kind of kept pushing me on it yesterday. And she said, she's like, if you just did 5 minutes. And I said, I just want you to know you're stressing me out by telling me to add something to my to-do list. So then I have one of my best friends is a therapist. So I got done with my call with my paid therapist, and I got over to my best friend, and I sent her a message, and I was like, hey, so here's what my therapist said. She's telling me to do these mindful meditations. It's making me mad. And my friend was like, you're going to get mad at me, but I really think that you should.
Like, damn it. It's everywhere. And I'm having a guest tomorrow. Ah.
Yeah. So then she's like, and I also think you'd really benefit from like some breathing exercise. And I was like, the worst thing you can tell me is to breathe. If you want me to get really mad, tell me to breathe. So I'm kind of dying with the timing of this conversation.
Yes. But tell me more. I mean, so what is it about? And I'd like to talk about that, because I think that's an interesting, you know, how can I demystify that? Or maybe change your mind about, so what's so frustrating about breathing? I mean, definitely if somebody tells you calm down, that is annoying. Mm-hmm. That's annoying. Cause if I could calm down, I think I would. But what is it that bothers
you? Yeah, I'm so glad you asked, because this was where I wanted to take the conversation, not to keep focus on me, but I think this is where I'm guessing a lot of moms fall into this category. Where I get frustrated is because my list of things to do is so long all day. In my mind, when you talk about that relaxed, being like relaxed and alert, I'm like hyper alert all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like if I took 5 minutes to do mindfulness meditation, that's 5 minutes where I could have accomplished 13 other tasks.
That's right.
That where I would have been crossing things off the list that would have eased my mind.
Right.
And so it feels like this time trade that is frustrating. I did tell my therapist, I was like, how about for my action step, I just research.
Of course.
Because she was like, you're going to find a ton of research that supports this. And any professional you talk to is going to say there's research that supports this. So I was like, so instead of actually starting the meditations, I will agree to doing some research. So my question for you is, can you talk a little bit about the science of this for people like me who I think it would be beneficial? It's just negotiating that time trade in my brain.
Completely.
Feels hard.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing about that time perception, you know, before we jump into the research, is that I invite everyone to just experiment with it. Try it out for a week, every morning for 1 minute or 5 minutes, and use a guided meditation, because by all means, especially when we're getting started, we need somebody's voice to kind of bring us back. So we're not just like all over the place, which we will be, but at least somebody will be bringing us back. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. And believe me, I was completely the same way. I mean, I started doing this when my daughter was three. I wanted to check out more about this class at my local hospital that taught mindfulness so I could bring it into the therapy office. And the homework was to meditate for a half an hour every day. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Right.
That's totally stresses me out.
But I'm also a people pleaser type A, right? So I was like, I'll do my homework. And I did my homework. And within just a week or two, I was like, wow, I am more patient. I am slowed down just a notch, but I'm more efficient, more productive. I have more energy at the end of the day. I am not like flopping into bed. Like, are you kidding me? I'm like, okay, well, you know, read a book and go to bed. So I invite everyone to test it out, because it is one of those things you sort of can't, you can read as till the cows come home about it, and you're not going to
do all the Googling
benefit. Right. Right. It's like exercise, right? I mean, you can read about all the benefits, but till you get those endorphins, or till you feel how good that feels to have a regular exercise habit, you don't get it. And that's fine. You don't. So, okay. Just like motherhood, you can't completely get that until you're a parent too.
Yeah, true.
So research, I mean, oh my goodness, all the way down to the cellular level, meditation affects us. So we can, if we're hoping to live long, healthy lives, which I think we probably all are, especially as parents, we want to see as much of our kids and grandkids, and hopefully even further than that. When we long-term meditators, it shows that the telomeres, which are the end of our chromosomes, and those are almost like those caps at the end of a shoelace, and that coating, and they tend to, just by natural aging, wear out, break down. But with long-term meditation, the telomeres stay intact longer. So we live longer, healthier lives. I mean, that's kind of all the way down to the cellular level. We know that, I mean, just the basics are that when we are a little bit stressed, we don't have to be hugely stressed, but this sort of overwhelmed time start feeling most of us live with, we're in a chronic state of fight or flight, low level. We don't even recognize it a lot of the time. That's our body's reaction to perceived danger. We don't distinguish between real danger and perceived danger. So if I'm crossing a street and like look up and see a car, my body goes into fight or flight. That's a great thing. But I might be like, to-do list, schedule. Oh my gosh, I'm in fight or flight. And my body doesn't recognize that's not a real danger. It feels like the same kind of threat. And what happens in our brains during fight or flight is the front part, the prefrontal cortex, slows down and shuts down. And that's the part that's in charge of being able to step back and see the big picture, planning, organizing, being creative, being innovative, all these things we love and need. So it's still working, but our emotional amygdala is firing, and that's in charge. We're not as much able to respond. We're just reacting out of old habit. So with a little bit of mindfulness and meditation, and research shows that the gray matter in our brain, this part that I'm talking about, actually increases after 8 weeks of daily meditation. So we change the function and the shape of our brain with meditation. So when we are a little bit more calm and we come out of fight or flight, that front part of our brain can work a little bit more efficiently. And I'm able to, instead of just react like my kids, you know, giving me a hard time and I just bark right back and then we're off and running and everybody feels miserable and, you know, doesn't go well, I can pause. And I'm remembering to just take that breath that you don't want to take, but calms down our nervous system and reminds us, hey, there is no danger here. And then I can think clearly, how do I really want to respond in this situation? Things go so much more smoothly. So, you know, that is one benefit. Also, just that, like I was mentioning, thinking about a day when you are really stressed and feeling overwhelmed, that's when we spill the coffee mug. We, you know, forget our keys. We drop this. I can't find this. We can't pull out, you know, that retention or coming up with the names for things that we want to remember. It's just like, it's just not as sharp because we're so overwhelmed, but we're slowing down just a notch. We're just, things go more smoothly and we're more efficient. So I could go on all day, but there you go.
That makes a lot of sense. And after I got mad at my therapist yesterday and I was like thinking about, I had to drive somewhere last night. So I was in the car for like an hour and I was thinking this through and I was thinking, perhaps if I could make my brain quiet down on demand, like by doing meditation, what have you, then when I went to do the 13 things that I thought I could do in that 5 minutes that I sacrificed, that I'd be able to more quickly prioritize them and determine like, which ones do I really need to do, which, and probably come to a point of completion with them instead of trying to do 13 things at once and doing them each like 7 to 70% of the way.
Yes. Yes, completely. You're absolutely right. It's, you know, it does help us because that pause helps us prioritize. Number one, is it something I really need to do? Or is this just another fire coming at me that I'm just going to, you know, it either feels good to put it out because I can check it off the list, like you're saying, or I feel like it's urgent, but is it really urgent? Mm-hmm. So it does give us that pause and then we can really prioritize that. And again, with the coming back to that life balance and recalibration, this ongoing process of every so often, am I headed in the right direction here? Am I, you know, like, where am I trying to go? Because we can get, you know, we can just go through life and be like, how did I get here? You know, what happened? Yeah. How am I here? Versus like, okay, like I want to be intentional. This is how I really want my life to look. How do I get there?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you talk about the difference between mindfulness, meditation, mindful breaks, and what all those mean? And kind of the benefits of them so that we're clear on what we're doing.
Exactly. So, right. Mindfulness is paying attention to what's happening in the moment with an attitude of kindness. So as best we can, we're not being judgmental. So that's the piece that often gets missed. And okay. So the opposite of mindfulness is when we're on autopilot. And we're in our minds in the future, we're worrying, we're running through our to-do list, or in the past, thinking about a conversation or whatever. So mindfulness is bringing us back into the present moment with an attitude of kindness. Now, meditation is when we carve out time in our day to practice that skill of mindfulness. And again, I come back to 5 minutes, 1 minute, and it can be something as simple as noticing our inhale and our exhale, and then our mind will wander off many times. And we just bring it back over and over again. And you might think, well, what the heck, what, you know, what's the point of that? We are literally training that mindfulness muscle of attention. Almost like if I'm going to go to the gym and I want to build up my biceps, I'm going to do repetitive curls. I'm repeatedly bringing my attention back over and over in a non-judgmental, as best we can, kind of kind way, not like what's wrong with you. You know, why can't you stay on the breath?
Can't you focus on your breathing?
Exactly. We judge ourselves for judging ourselves too. We'll be like, oh, now you're judging yourself so much. Right. It's amazing. We're just familiarizing ourselves with our busy minds when we sit down to meditate. It's practicing a skill. Like if I'm going to learn to swim, I can't just dive into the pool and never have been in the pool before and expect I'm going to start, you know, breaststroking. I have to practice it on a regular basis. It becomes muscle memory, and then we can pull it out and use it in those moments when we really are feeling like we need it. It's something I know how to do. Now I can bring my attention back. Now I can calm my body down a little bit. You know, and again, it doesn't take a whole lot of time. And then mindful breaks are those pauses in the middle of our day. So I can be having a coffee mindful break. So rather than just drinking my coffee and multitasking and not even recognizing I had the coffee, I can pause for 20 seconds and just feel the mug, feel the warmth, smell it, taste it, feel the warmth down my throat into my stomach. That is a really different way of drinking a couple of sips of coffee than how I typically do it. But you know what? I'm aware of my life right now. I've paused it. So you can wait in the grocery store line and just, you know, instead of scrolling on our phones, which we tend to do to fill up that space, like, what if I just stand there and look around and what do I notice? Take a few breaths. What do I like? Can I drop my shoulders? Can I make conversation with someone? It's being present for our lives. And it does actually slow the feel of the pace from one that feels frantic and urgent to a little bit more calm and sustainable.
That makes a ton of sense. My therapist, and thank you for letting me use myself as an example for everything here. So she recommended to me a year and a half ago, she said, when you get up in the morning, it might really help you if you, while you're having your coffee, to spend like 20 to 30 minutes just sitting and being while you drink your coffee. I was like, 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. That's a lot. That's a long time to start.
I was like, well, I can't do that. But I was like, I'll do 2 minutes. Uh-huh, and so what that's turned into, and it's been really helpful, which is why I bring it up, because I think this might be a good starting point for others. And I've talked about this a little bit before on the show, but it's really reinforced by what you just said, is it's turned into now when I get up and I feed the dog and I'm in the kitchen after I fed her and let her out to go to the bathroom, I get my cup of coffee ready. And the first 3 sips that I take, during each of those 3 sips, I think of one thing I'm grateful for.
Nice.
And I'm like, that's the best I can do. That's my 20 to 30 minutes. And it takes like 30 seconds.
And you're still multitasking, but hey,
sitting down. I'm not, I'm like, right. Yeah. I'm waiting on the dog, But I'm like, if this is my compromise, this is a starting point. And that's, I think that sometimes that little tiny starting point can be really helpful.
That's exactly what a mindful break can be. And think about if you do that. So that's already your habit. Now you don't think about it too much. It's just what you do. Right. Now, if you stack on another one for 2 weeks, you know, whatever that looks like, that could be, you know, driving home from the office in the car. I'm just not going to turn the radio on for 1 minute or 30 seconds or something. Silence. You know, whatever it is that feels like it fits into your life, and that becomes that habit. And before you know it, if you have your days sprinkled with some mindful breaks, you don't have to remember. It's not effortful anymore because it's just sort of what you do, and you're pulling yourself out of autopilot. You're being there for your life, and you're intentional about it, right? It's kind of like, I want to think about what I'm grateful for because this will really start my day off in a really positive way.
So for someone who's just starting out, who might be resistant like me, who doesn't like adding things to their to-do list, what are some starting points or like little, whether it's mindful breaks or starting with a specific kind of mindful meditation or activities that you have coming out in your book, where would you recommend people get started?
Yeah. So there are three types of mindful breaks. There are breathe breaks, which help us find calm and more awareness. The becoming breaks are when we need a shot of confidence, assertiveness, energy. And then the balance breaks are kind of what they sound like, which are bringing us a little bit back into balance. So my recommendation is if you can pause and just, what is it I'm needing in this moment? Which type of break? And then you can pick. There are dozens of different mindful breaks. But a great example that people like of is the 4-7-8 breath. And this is if we're needing to just calm down in a stressful moment. And it's very simple. It's inhaling through our nose to the count of 4. It's holding our breath to the count of 7. And then slowly breathing out through our mouths, like our mouths pursed kind of to the count of 8. And you do that for a few cycles, and that will calm down that fight or flight, that reaction I talked about. It's something that gives our brain to focus on the counting of the breath, and the ratio helps calm our body down. So that's something so simple. You can do it anytime, anywhere. You know, that's one. So a becoming break can be something as simple as, these are, again, things you can just be thinking about. I talk about the green-eyed monster I have when we feel a shot of envy or jealousy for someone who has something that we just feel jealousy. And then, you know, we tend to, as women, judge ourselves for that. Like, what's wrong with you? Or forget it. Or I can't, we just feel bad about ourselves. So just to unpack it a little bit more. And again, this doesn't take much time. I share the story of one day, this was pre-COVID. I was heading to my office and I had my laptop and my lunch and I was all, you know, kind of schlepping it to my car. I had just gotten my son on the bus and I rushing to my office to see some clients. And I look over and pull out of my driveway and see my friend out, my neighbor who lives across the street, walking her dog in the sunshine with a cup of coffee. And I was like, oh man, that looks so good. I want to do that. And then I was like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You love your work. You know, she's not laying around, you know, eating bonbons all day or whatever on the couch. And so I kind of, you know, had to take a minute and say, what's under here? What is this? And I realized very quickly that I was feeling overscheduled and I just didn't have any open space to feel like I had 10 minutes to walk my dog in the sunshine with my cup of coffee. And I wanted that. So it's like when we feel that envy, that jealousy, getting underneath, you know, I don't want somebody else's life necessarily, but I want this piece or I want that piece. So maybe it's like we see materialistic things and it's maybe it's not even the stuff we want. We want financial security or something, you know? And then what is one small action step I can take toward that, you know, just again, one simple shift. So I went to my office that day, pulled out my calendar, you know, at lunchtime. And then a few weeks out, I started scheduling these blocks of time where I was like, open space must be protected. Yes. And really just did that for myself because that is what I was craving and needing. And so that's how we can, you know, overall shift the balance in different ways.
I love that. I love all those examples. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. And they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code Shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use the code Shameless, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. AquaTrue.com, code Shameless. This episode is supported by Air Doctor. You probably don't know that Americans take in about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause upper respiratory symptoms like sneezing, coughing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. I am so excited that we just got our own Air Doctor for our house, and we will have it all up and running and ready to go in time for all the things that come with spring weather, but also smoke season, which is just around the corner for those of us in the Pacific Northwest. And I know many of you across the country. So here's how you can get your own Air Doctor. First of all, Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code Shameless, and you'll receive up to $300 off of air purifiers. Exclusive to our podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro, AirDoctorPro.com, and use the promo code Shameless. That's airdoctorpro.com, code Shameless. So I've actually used the 478 breathing for insomnia over the years.
Yes, exactly.
Super helpful. It's like really resets breathing and energy for sure. When you talk about, I love that you mention looking at your calendar for a few weeks out and committing to something. I think that sometimes when we think about stuff like this, we think I have to change everything tomorrow and I have to change a whole bunch of things at once. And the idea that you can decide that, okay, this is something that I want to focus on or invest in or something that I want to shift. It doesn't have to be an immediate integration or like a shock to the system, but it can be more like, okay, over the course of the next couple of weeks or starting next month or whatever, like this is what I'm going to make space for so that it doesn't feel like all of a sudden it's something that you have to do today. And there's not a sense of urgency around it. Instead, it's a sense of intentionally making space for it. And for me, that's a really different those are really different mindsets around accomplishing the same thing.
Yeah. That's that attitude I want everyone to have with life balance is that it can be fun and playful and experimental. It doesn't have to be so serious and, you know, like, oh, rigid. And, you know, again, one more thing, it's sort of like, I might look at my son, you know, and be like, man, we've had some busy couple of weeks. I don't feel like I've really just hung out or did something just fun and connected with you. So, you know, I might say, well, okay, that's not going to happen for the next couple of weeks, but maybe on a Saturday afternoon in October, you and I are going to go do something fun together. And that's exactly. So it doesn't have to, you know, it's keeping it in mind and noticing and just where can this fit in? Because it is about seasons of life. And I think too, as women and, you know, ambitious women, for me, I've had to say with work, there are so many projects I love to do. I can take on too many things. And I've had to say, this is not the season or not yet. I tell myself almost like, I promise I'm not going to forget this. I won't forget you, but it's just not yet. You know, it's just not the right time. And so that can be helpful.
I love that. I also appreciate that balance doesn't need to be an when I think about this, a broad sense of balance, I think about it being that, like, if I were to take my calendar and look at the week and divide up the hours, that like 50% would go here and 50% would be there, and that would be balance. And I think that's not what balance is. But right. when we look at using mindfulness, little bits of mindfulness throughout the day, then you can have a day that has 87 activities in it. But if you've intentionally had like three little mindful breaks, there's a sense of balance in that day, that it's not about certain percentages going to certain things as much as it's about how did you experience the day overall.
Absolutely. I love that. There is a mindful break about energy tracking. So, you know, noticing what we do in a day or over the course of a couple of weeks that drains our energy, what gives us energy, what is sort of neutral. So as best we can, again, going forward and very slowly and incrementally, what can we delegate? What can we give up that drains us? What can we add more of that energy? Energizes us and so forth. So it, again, it's like, maybe that takes a whole year to come to where we're like, ooh, this is pretty good. That's okay. And we never totally get there. And then new things pop up. So that's okay too.
right. Do you integrate mindful breaks with your kids?
Sure. Yes.
This is something we haven't touched on, but I'm like thinking through, there's so much of this that I could see being beneficial with, well, with a 10 and a 20 year old in different ways. But for my son, who's almost 10, I'm thinking, like, some of this could be really helpful for kids as well. And is that included in your work as, in the book as well?
My first book, Breathe Mama Breathe, has more of that, things that we can practice with our kids. But one is so simple and a lot of people love is a 3-breath hug, which is, we can teach this to our kids, and even 10-year-olds are still going to do it, which is a big bear hug. And then you coordinate your inhales and your exhales together. And it's very connecting. It's very calming. Some people will do it before they leave the house, you know, that kind of thing. And I shared the story of my daughter when she was 5. I had taught this to her when she was younger, and I was having like a mommy meltdown in the bathroom, and she knew it. And she slipped a note under the door that said, meet me in my room for a 3-breath hug. Oh. And I know, right? And then when she was like 15, I was lending a book out to a friend on mindfulness, and I found it in the book. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to share this on Instagram. She's like, no, that's so embarrassing. She was 15, you know? So talking about your therapist, I mean, as I'm trained as a psychotherapist, so I feel like I do apologize to my kids sometimes, especially my daughter, because she talks like a therapist. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's just, we can't help it. It comes out like that. So it's just like that. I think with mindfulness, it kind of, when we practice as adults, we're modeling it like everything else, and they see it, and we can be explicit about it. We can say, you know, I'm sorry, I lost my temper. I was so tired and frustrated, and I didn't handle that well. Next time I'm going to go try to like walk away and take a few deep breaths. And, you know, so we can be explicit about it, so they know how to use it too. Some kids are more receptive to actually practicing mindful breaks and doing them. Little kids definitely are, right? I mean, you can be like, let's go outside and notice what's happening in our senses right now and just like make it super playful. And yeah, but I mean, my kids, they've kind of just gotten it whether they liked it or not. And, you know, but never push it. We never want to be like, this is more homework and this is what you need to do to learn. So don't be mindful. That'll turn them off right away, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about the books. My question was going to be, are there like, do you recommend certain meditation apps or mindful? So any apps that you'd recommend? And then also tell us about the book, because I know that's going to also be full of tools. So tool talk.
Yeah. So honestly, I'm not a huge app user. I mean, there are many. There's 10% Happier, Calm, Headspace, and those are just a few that I know of and, you know, experiment with that. Like I mentioned, it's always helpful to use a guided voice. If people want to go to my website, I will send them a free 5-minute guided meditation. It's my voice and it's an audio download. And a guided coffee mindful break. And there's also a workbook that goes along with that. So it's like 3 different types of mindful breaks, depending on what's needed. So
we'll link to that.
And Breathe Mama Breathe, 5-minute mindfulness for busy moms. That's my first book. And that's more towards moms with little ones. It does go all the way up to like driving age, but mostly kind of moms with little ones. And then Don't Forget to Breathe, 5-minute mindfulness for busy women. This is, both books have a ton of dozens of different mindful breaks. And they talk about meditation, because to me, it's like the combo of 5 minutes or 1 minute of meditation in the morning and then mindful break. That's going to be your best kind of bet when it comes to integrating this into your life. And Don't Forget to Breathe is more geared toward women in general and creating more of this life balance.
Awesome. So we will link up to all those things in the show notes as well. Does it matter what time of day you meditate?
It does not. I keep mentioning morning. To me, it's always what I've done. I do think there's benefit, almost like exercise. You know, we get it in, we get it done. It really positively affects our day. And to me, when we can tune in to what's going on in ourselves for that day, that's always helpful. But having said that, some people really love to do it in the evening or at lunchtime. It really just matters when you're establishing any habit to bookend it between two already established habits, because then it just will flow.
Yes. Have you read Better Than Before by Gretchen Rubin?
Yes.
So she talks about, I think she calls it like habit linking or habit partnering or something, but yes.
Habit stacking maybe.
Yeah. So it's, but it's something that I've talked about with clients for years, but it's like the same thing. Like if you're going to implement something new, like do it before or after you brush your teeth.
That's right.
Because exactly. Like it's integrating it into something that you're already automatically doing every day. So, and then you add it to there. So that's super, super helpful advice to have one thing be the trigger for the new thing.
Yeah. And again, I'll come back to, I really emphasize this idea of it being playful and experimental and always having this sense of amusement with ourselves. Because when we start taking ourselves so seriously, that is, we don't want to do that. That's not fun. It's sort of like moving and moving our bodies and exercise. How can we make it fun and playful and enjoyable? And we don't want to slog through it all the time. That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Thank you. Okay. Can you tell us how you're currently showing up as a shameless mom?
Yes. Well, I would say, I think I'm modeling kind of, like I said, stepping out of my comfort zone over these past few years and bringing creativity and entrepreneurship to my work. So, you know, I was trained as a psychotherapist, and in the past 5 years, I have a podcast where mental health professionals can earn continuing ed credits for listening. You know, I have books and I do speaking engagements and podcasts. So to me, I'm proud that I'm modeling for my kids that, you know, I'm imperfectly trying to balance this, and they know when I'm out of balance and I try to apologize, but you know, I try to just model getting back on track.
Love that. Thank you. And I love the idea of that. Building all the things can be part of your balance. That isn't like, you can being ambitious and going after things doesn't have to throw you out of balance, which I think
Important. No, it makes me I'm so much happier. I'm such a happier person and mom when I'm doing all this fun stuff. Oh my gosh.
Totally. Yeah.
And I'm going to put one more shameless plug out there for just seeing my daughter, who is a senior in college now and just starting this internship. She's into social justice and policy and law.
So,
you know, just seeing her light up as she's talking about what she's doing, that is just, I mean, I think that's what we want for our kids, right? Is like to see them be engaged and energized and lit up by what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. It makes me feel better about enduring my 10-year-old's super sassy attitude that she's developed recently. good things can still come. Okay, good to know.
That's right. There's hope.
Right. Oh my goodness. Shonda, this has been so helpful for me personally and professionally. I know people listening are going to get so much out of this conversation and maybe even from some of my own shared experience. Can you tell people where they can find you, connect with you, get your books, your resources, all the good stuff?
Yeah. So my website is shondamorales.net, and it's shondamorales.net. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. And so I love when women reach out and say hello and tell me what mindful break you're practicing or any questions I can answer. I love to engage.
I love that. And then you mentioned you have your free 5-minute mindful meditation on your website. Is that on your website as well?
Yep. People go there. Go and kind of give their email and I'll send that out and get started.
Cool. Great. Oh my gosh. Shonda, thank you for this. Thank you for doing therapy with me this last 45 minutes.
The bill is in the mail.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. I so appreciate this. I've learned so much and I love having guests where people get to learn through my own examples, where I get to take something away from the conversation, but also where I know that the conversation is going to just be so impactful to so many listeners. I think we've touched on a number of things that really impact most moms, if not all moms. So thank you for the work you're doing. It's so important. And when you write the next book, you have to come back and talk about that.
My pleasure. I would love that. Thanks so much for having me, Sarah. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook. Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button, and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us